May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Well, when I volunteered foolishly to do this, I had all sorts of bright ideas. I was going to talk about the beheading of John the Baptist. Then I thought, let's do David and the bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. Well, the Lord kind of pushed me in another direction. So this is about dancing. Believe it or not. The Old Testament lesson today is the story of David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem in triumph. According to the Bible, he was accompanied by 30,000 men. These chosen men of Israel were all dancing for joy, accompanied by different musical instruments. Drums and tabors and lutes and lyres and castanets and all kinds of musical instruments that we don't even use much today. But they were happy. This was a joyful time. Early on, David sacrificed an ox and a fatling, and then he continued toward Jerusalem, dancing and leaping before the Lord in an ephod, much to the disgust of his wife, who was also the daughter of Saul. But I did some research on this passage, and there's a little more to it than meets the eye at first. I had a picture of the king dancing around in his shorts. Not very dignified. And that's wrong. According to some sources, the ephod was worn under the tunic, which meant he had to take the tunic off, dance around in his underwear. No. But according to other sources, the ephod was simply a priestly garment, a vestment, that could be worn under or over the robes of the king. Do we know? No, we do not. But apparently, Michal was not pleased that her husband would make a spectacle of himself by being only clad in a priestly garment instead of the royal robes of the king, and quite possibly showing a little more than was proper. What matters is that David was rejoicing before God. He was unencumbered, and in a sense, he was completely humble before Yahweh. Dance is a way of showing emotion, just like most musical forms are. David danced for joy. Psalm 24, which we did not read at this service, but we read it at 8 o'clock, is also an expression of joy at the coming of the king. We usually hear it in Advent or as part of the Palm Sunday liturgies. But today it fits the Old Testament lesson beautifully. The King of Glory shall come in. Those of us who have been blessed in the chance to see Jerusalem can picture both the entry of the Ark of the Covenant and the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city, and people dancing for joy simply because they couldn't be still. Think of a little child who's excited about going to Disney World. That kid can't hold still. He couldn't hold still if he wanted to because he's so excited. He's just dancing. The letter to the Ephesians tells us of Christ's redemption and the joy we can feel at having been blessed to be adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. Through him, we're God's children, children of the King of Kings. We are princes and princesses. Now, that's cause for rejoicing. But we're probably too adult to dance before our God in childlike joy. Maybe we should try something a little different sometime. But now we have a change of scene, and it brings us back to dancing. We've heard the story of John the Baptist, dressed as an Old Testament prophet. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And yes, he did eat grasshoppers. Very nasty to us, but a very valuable protein source in the Middle East. We tend to forget that John was also a kinsman of Jesus, and the first person after his mother to rejoice in his coming. The two men were very close in age, about 6 months apart. So now this was under another Herod. But fast forward 30 years. We've got another king in Jerusalem, another Herod. this Herod had married his brother's wife, among other things. I've read and seen charts that make some of the hillbilly jokes about being I'm my own grandpa look pretty tame. And this Herod had a real knack for having people agree with him, or he discouraged people from disagreeing with them. He murdered them. There were people who said you were better off being Herod's pig than his son, because at least he wouldn't eat the pig. Well, John had called Herod out, especially about his marriage to his brother's wife. This upset Herod, and yet we're told that he actually respected John. He liked to listen to him and maybe even liked him. Maybe John was like the court jester in medieval times, the one who could tell the truth to the king and get away with it and not be executed. We really don't know. But stop and think. Are we so different? We see certain preachers on TV or the talking heads on the news programs, and even though they may irritate the stuffing out of us, we keep coming back to that show or to that channel. I catch myself arguing with some of these folks and end up turning off the TV or just leaving the room. Doesn't matter whether their commentators are liberal or conservative, I can find something to disagree about with no trouble at all. But that isn't the only thing about this situation. Herod, in his way, was a man of honor. He kept his word, at least when he had given that word in the presence of witnesses. So now you're going to hear a little more of Carla and a little less of Mark here. This banquet of Herod's was a really big deal. There was probably a lot of meat, which didn't happen very often for these folks. There was bread, vegetables, and wine, probably lots of wine. And as you may know, lots of wine can make lots of people do lots of things that they wouldn't normally do. Some of us can remember in family gatherings being made to recite a poem or play an instrument or otherwise perform for company. I can. I hated it. But Herod's little daughter, who was probably about, let's say 12, could dance. And I suspect that what happened was that he said, "Hey, come and show off for the folks." And Daddy was so proud of her that he said he'd grant her whatever she wanted. And her mother, the illegal wife, asked for the head of the man who had accused her of being who and what she was. So Herod, rather than go back on his word, ordered that it be made so. My point is this. Evil people can misuse good things. God gave us his joy and the means of expressing it. He's given us many other gifts, and we do tend to misuse them. Dance can be an expression of rejoicing, but it can create friction. Wine makes an occasion festive, but Herod and his cronies misused it, and a prophet died. That said, there's a song called Lord of the Dance. I'm very fond of it. At first I thought, ooh, God dancing? Well, it goes, "Dance then, wherever you may be, for I am the Lord of the Dance," said he, "and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance," said he. So if we allow our Lord to really be the Lord of our lives and the Lord of our dances, we will live to his glory and his honor. Amen.